give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, 6:01 on a Tuesday night. Basically a victory Tuesday, if you will, for the Philadelphia Eagles as they win over the New York Giants in impressive fashion in the fourth quarter, 23-17, as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Gibbons again with you until tonight, 7:45, because the 76ers will host the Denver Nuggets at the center, a 8 o'clock tip. Tom McGinnis will have the game call. Sixers.com's own Brian Seltzer will have the pregame coverage starting at 7:50, so we'll carry you right up into pregame coverage and get you ready for game time as the Sixers look to improve to 13-0 at home on the season. A great record, of course, protecting your home floor, and you know how important that is as you get into the postseason. And speaking of the postseason, the Philadelphia Eagles keeping things alive with a win last night, 23-17 over the Giants. An overtime win last second, touchdown Wentz to Ertz. They lock it down, improved to 6-7. They're now tied in the division with the Dallas Cowboys at the top. The Eagles are in Washington this weekend at 1 o'clock game to take on them. And, of course, the Dallas Cowboys have the L.A. Rams, who are surging right now. The Rams are trying to get themselves situated, get themselves going. So, with that, you look at that and you say, you know what? Before, you might not have had as much confidence with the Rams going into Dallas and trying to win that game. But right now, at 8-5, the Rams are. They're behind the 49ers at 11-2, the Seattle Seahawks at 10-3 in their division. Going to be tough for them to win a division. However, when you look at the NFC playoff standings, currently the Rams are right behind the Minnesota Vikings for the wild card spot. So we'll see how all of this stuff plays out. And the Philadelphia Eagles have their own stuff to worry about as they're now looking to continue with the three games remaining on the schedule, knock off Washington, getting ready for a big showdown with the Dallas Cowboys on December 22nd, the following Sunday, back here in Philadelphia. But as we get back into last night, it looks like as we get ready to start the show, Dylan McKinnon, who's producing the show, just jumps in right away and lets me know that Adam Schefter is putting it out there that it looks like Alshon Jeffrey, who was injured last night, you saw when he was injured with his foot, that it looks like he's probably done for the remainder of the season. And let me just look at it real fast. And Tim McManus is also reporting that Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver will miss the rest of the season with what Doug Peterson called a significant foot injury, a source confirmed to ESPN's Adam Schefter. NFL Network first reported that Jeffrey would miss the rest of the season. So there you have it. If we already didn't look at everything last night and say no Aguilar to start the game, no Jeffrey after he was injured, and you're playing with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Greg Ward, but that's what you have? Well, that's what you're going to have, because Alshon Jeffrey looks like is out for the rest of the season with the foot injury. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Greg Ward, hopefully Nelson Aguilar is back. Maybe Mark and Michelle, maybe, comes off the practice squad. Who knows? Jordan Matthews, welcome back. I don't know. But Alshon Jeffrey looks like he's done for the season with a significant foot injury for the Philadelphia Eagles. But as we look back to last night and everything that took place in that game, it was a wild game. Down 17 to 3 to New York and Eli Manning, where everyone is looking at it thinking, what in the world is going on here? Could this be happening again? Miami last week at 2-9. This week, 2-10 team, New York Giants. And they come in to Philadelphia and they look like they're going to take care of business. They were in control. And then all of a sudden, the defense was able to get going. The Philadelphia Eagles running game started to get going and they turned it around. And as they tied things up and they got back into the mix, wound up getting that W in dramatic fashion in overtime was Zach Ertz. Now, if we look at Boston Scott, right? One of the guys who was the star to really spark things for the Eagles offense was 10 carries for 59 yards on the game for the Philadelphia Eagles because Miles Sanders, who had 15 carries for 45 yards, he had cramps. So he had to step up off the field and make way for Boston Scott, who came in and really, again, provided a big-time boost, some energy to the Eagles' offense, who desperately needed it, once again, with playing with the receiving group of Greg Ward, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and Josh Perkins, the tight end that you can also use as a wide receiver from time to time based on where he lines up. And we already know about Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. This was one of those things where you look at it and say, who's going to step up? Well, it was Boston Scott. It was Zach Ertz with the 991 and two catches. It was Josh Perkins giving you something with five catches for 37 yards. Greg Ward, 4 for 34. Even J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who did not catch a lot of footballs from Carson Wentz last night, 2 receptions for 29 yards. But he had a big one down the end of the game where it was the pass interference on New York. On that pass interference, picked up a big gain for 22 yards. Doug Peterson declined it. You obviously take that and you move on, and they march on down certainly again and tie it up with Zach Ertz's first touchdown and tie it up at 17 all. I actually thought it was a little bit of a delay, right? The delay of game on that one. They didn't call it. I'm picking. I know. I'm happy they got the W. But that was just in my notes as I was watching the game. I was like, because I'm sitting there and I'm like, snap the ball, Kelsey. What are you doing? You can see Carson Wentz clapping for it. That being said, big contributions from them. And then that leads me to the other guy. So while we talk about the five catches, the 10 rushes for 59 yards for Boston Scott, we can't ignore the 6 receiving receptions for 69 yards for Boston Scott last night. A screenplay that worked very well. You can see it, and Jason Avant talked about playing in that weather last night at the link and how the Birds could try to use their offense with so many people missing. No Jordan Howard, no Nelson Agholor. How are you going to move the ball up and down the field against this Giants defense? He said some screen games, some things out in the flat, right? Take advantage of some of that short stuff in the middle of the field, and that's what you got from Boston Scott. Not so much from Miles Sanders, who only had the 4 catches for 24 yards, only a long of 11. But Boston Scott, some big receptions, 6 for 69, 11.5 per catch, his long of 17, all 6 targets he caught. They were big. They were huge for him. And by the way, Jason Avant will join us at 7 o'clock to talk about what he saw in the game last night as the Eagles keep things alive and for their postseason hopes, winning the division as they're, again, tied at the top of the division with the Dallas Cowboys at 6-7, a showdown between those two on December 22nd. But the Eagles have to take care of business in Washington this week, and the Rams are in Dallas, so we'll see how everything plays out. But a big win last night. It was so frustrating, infuriating at times. It was a tale of three quarters and then one quarter for this football team. I thought they would lose it. I thought they should have lost it. And I'm so glad that I'm wrong, that I was wrong, because they got the W. The defense played really well outside of the two big plays, taking advantage of Ronald Darby with Slayton getting behind, the miscommunication between Rodney McLeod and Ronald Darby for the two scores, for one of the two scores, down 17-3. Eli Manning, they pumping. If we talk about pumping energy from Boston Scott into the Eagles, giving them life, that was the same thing with Eli Manning and how he was performing against the Eagles last night, hitting those deep balls to Slayton, right? So big props to them, the defense, specifically Ronald Darby. Get it together. 3 games remaining, playoff possibility, get it together. Looked terrible last night. Did he? Ronald Darby. Jalen Mills, you know, just okay. Whatever. Sidney Jones with a big play towards the end of the game to tip that one away on 3rd and 3. just a really good play. And Eli got the ball back at 1:50 on the clock. They punted at 1:32 on the game clock. So once again, great defense by the Eagles down the stretch, really with Sidney Jones capping it off, coming in and getting that tip ball, not allowing them to pick up the first down on 3rd and 3, where they were able to move the football really, really well. Not the case. And that leads me to my next guy. You've been hearing it all day. Topic of discussion, the team overall, Boston Scott, but also Carson Wentz. Also Carson Wentz. We've been talking about, when is he going to step up and make players better? When is he going to step up as a franchise player who is paid like a franchise player to elevate the game of some of the receivers, the players, the skill people around him that may not have any business doing so, but do something to help your team win? The defense can't do it all. The offensive line is going to play well, but you have to hit these receivers, at least allow them to catch it. Give them an opportunity to catch a catchable ball. Well, last night, he was awful in the first half. Just awful. I remember one play in particular where Wentz, obviously we know about the fumble early in the game. There was one play in particular where Carson Wentz just flat out, in my opinion, based off of the TV feed as we were watching it together, guys, right? Misses Miles Sanders, who had a linebacker, got out of the backfield, a little bit of a wheel route, was able to get in front. Carson scrambles to the left, and I'm thinking, throw the ball. If you're not going to throw it away, lob it over the top, put some touch on it, and allow your playmaker, your best one, before Boston Scott really got going, to make a play. And he didn't. And I was so frustrated at that point, at that moment, thinking this is going to be a long night. What is he doing? How is he not seeing this? How is he not trusting himself to make that type of throw, at least with him? If he trusts Goddard and Ertz and Jeffrey, at the very least, out of everyone else, you would think he trusts Miles Sanders, who he's been able to connect with during the season out of the backfield as a receiver, especially with linebackers and safeties and so on him. I thought he missed a big play there. But in the fourth quarter, he really stepped it up. Again, asking him to elevate his game to help pick up the play of his skill people. I thought in the fourth quarter he was very, very good, just like everyone else said. I looked at it at the end of the game and I said, this was a statement game. This was a defining game for Carson Wentz. A game-winning drive like this at home, where he had so much rhythm going in the fourth quarter into the overtime. Once they won that coin toss, they got the ball, I knew the game was over because he was already in such a good rhythm, connecting with them, decisive with where he wanted to go with the football, not looking at it and saying, oh, that's Boston Scott, I'm not going to throw it to him. Or that's Josh Perkins, I don't trust him, I'm going to go the other way. He took what was available. He hit them guys on those guys on the money. And they made the plays. And they came away with the victory. And they are 6-7, still with an opportunity to win the NFC East. And that's what we were asking for from him. You cannot make them maybe into Pro Bowlers, but you can make them into big-time contributors to what they need to do in specific games. If they go game by game by game, Peterson and the rest of the offensive coaching staff put together their game plan, and they have to adjust on the fly based on what happens, like Alshon Jeffrey having to leave. Nelson Aguilar is supposed to play. Wind up not playing. Miles Sanders cramping up. The same for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Who do you need to really step up? Yes, we talk about Zach Ertz and his 991 for 2 scores. It's really about your quarterback needing to be that guy. And yesterday, last night, when they needed him the most, I don't care who the opponent was. Because if the opponent is the New York Giants like they are, and he doesn't do it, we're talking about why are you not doing it to the New York Giants? Well, he did it to the New York Giants. This one, a defining moment, in my opinion, for Carson Wentz. Let's see if it carries over now. Losing Alshon Jeffrey. Looks like he's out for the rest of the season with the foot, according to NFL Network. Nelson Aguilar needs to get out there on the field. Greg Ward looks like he belongs on the field. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I'll take what I can get. Josh Perkins, line him up as well, and you know what you're going to get from your tight ends, or you believe you think you're going to get, you know what you're going to get from your tight ends. Carson Wentz is the key to all of it, along with the offensive line and how they get that work done. I want to know what you guys think about what happened last night. Talk about Boston Scott. If you feel I'm wrong in a defining moment for Carson Wentz, let me know. It was a big win. I wasn't all jazzed up about it, but I did raise my fist when I saw that catch by Zach Ertz at the end of the game, score, game over, walk off, celebrate, get ready for Washington. How about you? 610-632-0975. And once again, Devon Givens with you until 7:45. Sixers Nuggets at 8. Brian Seltzer with the pregame at 7:50. Dylan McKinnon producing the show as we have this abbreviated run for us before Sixers basketball. Jason Avant, my partner on the pregame show, he would join us at 7 o'clock to give us his take on everything that happened last night as the Eagles improved to 6-7, beating New York 23-17 in a defining win for Carson Wentz, in my opinion. Also, with Alshon Jeffrey, that news out there that he's out for the rest of the season with the foot injury, the Phillies make another move in free agency. 1 year, $14 million for Didi Gregorius, rejoining, getting back together with Joe Girardi here in Philadelphia. Nice move by the Phillies. I like it. Infield is shaping up. You already know what you did with Zach Wheeler with the pitcher. Pitching staff, now you have he and Aaron Nola, of course, at the top. We'll see what else they do. Maybe, you know, you see some news earlier, John Heyman saying there's a sneaky team out there. Sneaky team out there trying to get in the mix for Gerrit Cole before it's all said and done. Is it the Phillies? I don't know. But Didi Gregorius, 1 year, $14 million. He's here in Philadelphia, back with Joe Girardi. I like the move. If you guys want to just throw something in there with your Eagles point, obviously, and throw something on Didi, let us know how you feel about that move as well. And it looks like Josh Richardson will be playing tonight back on the floor for the 76ers. He's key, certainly, to the Sixers with what they do on the floor at that two-guard spot. They have missed him despite these big blowouts that they've had. And, man, we'll get into it in the post after the game about what they did against Toronto on Saturday. Big win for them, obviously. Fred VanVleet leaves in the first quarter. But, man, they did their thing. They were tremendous in that game until the final 4 minutes where they didn't know what a full court press was and how to inbound the ball and move the ball across court. My goodness. But that's a whole nother story. 610-632-0975. Good to see Josh Richardson back there playing tonight for the Sixers against the Denver Nuggets. A very, very good payback. You remember how it happened. Jokic with the big shot at the end. They were up by like 20. The Sixers were in that game as well. But let's go back to the phone. 610-632-0975. Eagles talk. Defining game for Carson Wentz, in my opinion. Awful first three quarters. Really good fourth, specifically at the end. Going into the overtime, he was tremendous. Let's see what you guys have to say about it. 610-632-0975. We start off with Dante right here on 97.5. What's going on, Dante?
What's going on, Devon? How was you, sir?
Oh, man, pretty good. About yourself?
I'm good, man. Listen, I hear all of you, heard your whole spell at the beginning, and it sounds all good. Like, I definitely agree with you with the Carson Wentz idea and your outlook on it. He definitely did step up in a big way, and I definitely agree with that. But I'm on to the Sixers, man. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I fell asleep at halftime.
Really?
And I didn't even watch any of the game, to be truthfully. Like, I just had a baffle, my mouth wide open. Like, I couldn't even believe what I was watching. Like, I had no faith in this team right now in the playoffs. And I honestly think we should just get up, our guys healthy, and just get ready for next year, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, I can't lie to you. As I'm sitting there watching the game and it's 17-3, I'm sitting there like, you know what, they're going to lose this game, and I don't even care at this point because they were playing so bad, right?
Right.
So poorly out there on that field last night. And I didn't. There was nothing there for me to believe that they would even be able to mount the comeback in the second half. But they did. And as the season keeps moving on, I cannot sit there with you, Dante, and say, you know what? I'm on to the Sixers, but I still have my eye because I want to see what the Eagles do. I want to see Carson Wentz get his feet into the playoffs, even if they get smashed, because just the experience of getting in there and not having that conversation anymore of he has not led his team to the playoffs and had any opportunity to do that where everyone throws Dak Prescott in there. He needs to be in there. So if they can get in there by any means, hopefully they can win at home in that wild card game first weekend. Mm-hmm. And improve and move on to week number two, and they get they get smashed in that next game, then so be it. I hope they don't, but I want them in the postseason, man, and I'm going to be watching these final three.
I agree. So you kind of winning me over right now. I'm not even going to lie. Because I say that right now, I think I'm just a little scorned because of the past two games.
No, I understand, man. They should be absolutely right. They should be 7-6.
But I, like I said, before you cut me off and get me off air, man, I just like to say that you be doing a great job. And you my number one guy that I always like to listen to, especially on my drive from work and on my way home, man.
Thank you.
I appreciate what you do and everything. And on that note, man, have a good holiday, and I'll talk to you soon.
You too, man. Much appreciated. Thank you for the kind words. I always say I love talking to you guys. You guys are my people, my friends. When we're on here, we argue, we fight. Most of the time we have a civil conversation, but sometimes we mix it up a bit. But I love it. It's what we do. It's sports conversation. It's great back and forth. And I really enjoy it, obviously. And it was enjoyed it last night at the end. Like I said, I did not care if they won that game based on how they were playing at 17-3 because I had no belief. But when Ertz caught that touchdown and before that, Boston Scott playing well and, again, evaluating how Carson Wentz was playing, when they won 23-17 and I saw him catch that one wide open, I gave a fist pump. I did. I was happy. I was. Can't lie. 610-632-0975. TJ, Shannon, Hodge, Ben, we got you guys when we come right back. Quick break. Jason Avant at 7. 610-632-0975. Eagles win. Defining game for Carson Wentz, in my opinion. What do you guys think about their chances? Final three games of the season. Washington next as we talk about it here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. 97.5. The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers Nuggets at 8 o'clock. We take you up to 7:45 tonight. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975. Dylan McKinnon producing the show. D.D. Gregorius, 1 year, $14 million with the Phillies. So the infield again coming together for your fightins, as we look at that right now with Hoskins, Segura, Gregorius, and what's going to happen with those guys as we look at it, really. I mean, Kingery, where's Kingery going to play? So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. 610-632-0975, talking some birds after the win, 23-17 last night over New York. A big win, 6-7. It's a shame that we're talking about 6-7, but it is what it is. This is where we are. Three games left. Washington next. Big win last night, shutting down the Eli Manning era properly. Let's keep it moving on the phones. TJ next on The Fanatic. What's going on, TJ?
Hey, how you doing, my guy, Devin? Look, thank you for this first time.
Hold up, TJ. Hold up. It's Devon.
Yeah, it's Devon.
No, you said Devin.
Oh, Devin.
That's my daughter's name. Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. hey, how you doing, man?
What's going on?
I just want to tell you first, but I'm going to say it's going to give my age away, but I go back to the Eagles since Wilbur Montgomery and Harold Carmichael when they lost to Jim Plunkett with Ryan Jaworski. So I think I have credibility to say that right now you're about to see the defense that showed up at New England and Seattle and the offense that beat Buffalo. It's going to line all the way up. We're going into the playoffs, and we're going to win this thing out.
Well, I hope you're right. Now, the defense, to your point, they had some issues with Washington in week number one. Now, we know they have Dwayne Haskins in there, and it's not Case Keenum, but McLaurin gave them a problem. So, the Darius Geis looks like he's going to be out. And
then Lane Johnson, too.
Ryan Kerrigan is out. Yeah. So, you might be right, but they cannot go in there. And the only reason I say that, TJ, even coming off of a big one last night, is because look at what we're talking about. Coming back to beat the Giants. Right. Losing to Miami. And now you're facing a team in Washington where you should beat that team. And you should beat that team handily. But at this point, I don't know who the Philadelphia Eagles are going in to play this 3-10 squad.
Right. Yeah. No, I understand. I'm a little nervous, but I'm an Eagle fan. Green.
Well, bleed that green, TJ. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. 610-632-0975. Once again, Jason Avant will join us at 7 o'clock to give us his take on everything that took place last night. But before that, we go to Ben and Ambler checking in on the Fanatic. Ben, how you doing?
I'm good. How you feeling, Devon?
Doing well. Thank you.
real quick. Wow. How about them Phillies?
Yeah, what do you think, man? I mean, DD one for 14 million, right?
I love the deal.
Love it.
You know, the money's not too bad. It's for 1 year, so he's still going to be hungry. Do you have his stats handy from last year, though? I know he's a little long in the tooth.
No, but I can look it up. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just curious. You know, because we tend to sometimes get guys a little bit after their prime. With some of these, but
I have it right here. So I came back from Tommy John surgery in June, hit .238 with 16 homers, 61 ribbies in 82 games.
Perfect. And coming off an injury too, so that means as long as he works hard in the offseason, he's only going to be better.
Yes,
like it. How's the ACL looking with McCutchen? Is his timetable looking like, or is he pretty much done now?
No, we haven't gotten many reports, but most people think that since we haven't heard much that they're going to be okay, that he's going to be okay, and he'll be backed out there in the outfield and left and doing what he needs to do to help things out, man.
I'm going to get to an Eagles point, but real quick, I really think if they just get one more, decent little piece, one more utility player. I'm not sure exactly where our gap is. If it's probably going to be somewhere in the outfield, we might pick up an outfielder. But, I think one more bat and, with getting Wheeler, we're in really good shape with the Phils.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good. So real fast before you get to your Eagles point, Ben, if you have Didi at shortstop, Segura, are you putting him at third and Kingery at second?
I'm not sure which position's Kingery's more natural position, but I think that sounds right.
Probably second.
Yeah, I think that sounds right, and putting Segura third.
Yeah, so what you got on the Birds, man, last night? Big win, obviously. Big comeback. A defining game, in my opinion, for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and, I'm not sold on that yet, Devon, to be honest with you, but like a couple callers ago said, they were out on the season and they're ready. They're just looking forward to the Sixers. And he said you've kind of changed his mind with your points, and I'm kind of with him. I was thinking the exact same thing, that you're kind of bringing me back, like you were saying, about wanting Wentz to get this playoff experience and have that under his belt and some other guys get some playoff
experience. It can't hurt.
Right, exactly. And that's just us being Philadelphia fans, saying, all right, well, we're done. Move on to
seen, and we know what the injuries been and all, and thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. Even with that, and Carson Wentz hasn't been playing great, obviously. Played terrible in the first terribly in the first three quarters, and then he picked it up in the fourth and in overtime. But we've seen where teams have won with these records that are not very good. 7-9 team wins their first game. Seattle, I think it was, as a matter of fact, they were home. They won the West, and they hosted a home playoff game and got the W. The Giants didn't have a great record when they went on their run for the Super Bowl, but they also had a fantastic defense and so on and so forth. And you need that luck to get the great catch and all. Eli was on a great run playing well. I don't know that. I would say right now the Eagles don't have that in them. But once again, just get in there and allow Carson Wentz to face some playoff defense. To have that under his belt getting ready for the next season, where we would presume that Howie Roseman is going to go out there and get him some more offensive weapons. 610-632-0975. Hodge, my man, back in it right here on the Fanatic. What's up, Hodge?
Hey, Devon, you're a smart guy, but tonight you're making some dumb comments about Carson Wentz making a defining moment.
It's a dumb comment?
Yeah, it really is.
You said I'm a smart guy. Me and you are friends. Why you got to go with the dumb comment?
I'm surprised at you, man.
You could have used a different term.
I want to say dumb, okay? And not a smart comment.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, listen, Devon, I mean, his defining moment was when he played the Pats and Seattle, and when he played that crappy Dolphins team, and he lost to all three of them. There were his defining moments, not when he plays a decrepit old quarterback that's coming in there that gave all he had for one half and then just ran out of gas in the second half. That's not a defining moment. This guy should have been in this situation right now.
No, he should not have been in that situation. But since he was, he got himself out of that situation by playing well and closing that game down.
A legitimate quarterback, and he came back. I would tell you it was a defining moment.
Yeah, but Hodge, you know how I look at it. If he did it exactly what you're saying and played the exact same way like he did in the first three quarters and lost that game, we're talking about, to your point, the defining moment of those four games where he was awful. But he got it. He got the W.
17-3. I mean, this guy is not a good quarterback, Devon. We're always talking about next year. Next year he's going to be better. Next year he's going to be better. I mean, let's.
Well, we had every right last year, coming off of the injury, to say give us another year to get his legs back underneath him. Did we not?
Not being able to stay on the field is part of being a great quarterback. I mean, Eli.
That's why I said going into last year, not during the year.
But I mean, we're always talking about next year with this guy for one reason or another. It's next year. It's next year. It's not this year. He's not able to win. He's not a winning quarterback. He doesn't have a winning record in the last 24 games, and he's not going to the playoffs, like you said. He's not the guy. He's not
going. I don't know that he's not going to be a winning quarterback, Hodge, because we haven't seen the season conclude yet. Right. Thanks for the call, man. As always, we haven't seen it yet, and we have not seen him perform in the postseason yet to see what he does on that stage, especially if they get in there having a home game as well. So I'm willing to wait and see. I don't think New England, Seattle, and Miami were his defining moments. In Miami, he played pretty good. The defense was awful. Should he have gotten them another score at the end of the game? I believe so. But at that point, the momentum and the juice was all the way on Miami's side. There was really nothing Philadelphia was going to be able to do against that Miami squad. He did not get them. He did not have them in position to score. I will agree with you on that. But there's no way that I'm going to sit there and say, Hodge, that a defining moment was New England, Seattle, and Miami, and he is that bad. I disagree with you on that one. I thought that was the defining moment. Now, how does he back it up is my thing. And once again, had he lost that game, we're having that conversation, Hodge. He did not lose that game. He won that game with Boston Scott with the way that he played last night. He still has plenty to prove to all of us, including me, where I said that's a defining moment, but I need more. That just showed that he can do it. You said a decrepit, aging quarterback? You're not wrong. That being said, he was not playing against that decrepit, aging quarterback. That was his defense playing against them. He did his job against that defense that played pretty well against him in the first three quarters, and he turned things around and got that W. That's how I'm looking at it. Can it carry over to Washington? And if they get this W, which I think they should, can he do it against Dallas? That is going to be, Hodge, one more conversation that you and I can have on that following Monday, the 23rd, when we do Brian Westbrook's show. I will tell you to call, and we'll figure out if that one is another defining moment, good or bad, for Carson Wentz. defining moment for me last night with how he played. We've been asking for it. Elevate their play. He did it. Elevate your play. He did it, despite having a terrible game, and they got the victory 23-17. 610-632-0975. We have Ben, Seth, John, Tom, Troy, Owen. More room for you. Jason Avant at 7. Sixers at 8. We're rolling here tonight on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So as the phone call ends with Hodge, look at this tweet from at 76ers39. It says, Devon, why do you keep entertaining Hodge and all the rest of his aliases? Well, I like talking to him. We go back and forth. It's always respect. He talks over me. I talk over him. That's not necessarily great radio because you can't really hear everything. But, you know, we respect. That's why he changed the whole dumb statement thing to not smart. I'll take that one because we both can throw jabs that way. And I'm not going to do that to him. So make sure he doesn't do that to me. We have a conversation. It's all good. I'm not worried about it. And WRM Photography says, yeah, Hodge, we don't need him. Well, I don't mind talking to him, but I hear you guys. 610-632-0975. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South of Jersey's Diamond Destination. Back on the phones we go. Once again, Didi Gregorius, 1 year, $14 million deal with the Phillies, solidifying things in the infield. What does it mean for Gene Segura going forward? Do they try to move him? Do they keep him? Do they shift him over to third base while Didi plays short and Kingery is at second? We know Rhys Hoskins is at first. What's going on? It's a good signing, though. Ben in Norristown joining us next on The Fanatic, talking some birds. What's up, Ben?
Yo, brother. You there?
Yeah, I got you, man. What's going on?
What's going on? I wanted to thank you, first of all, for not signing my Brian Dawkins jersey and letting the three gentlemen know.
So let's set the scene for people, right? So you come up with the Brian Dawkins jersey, and Jason and Brian and Trey sign it, and they passed me the marker to sign it just for fun. And you looked at me like, all right, I wouldn't mind, but not really. So, and I definitely wasn't going to do it because I would not ruin your jersey as those three Eagle greats on your jersey, man. You know I appreciate it. Good fun.
All right, so this is what I'm really starting to call into question. And it is definitely the talent evaluation of the Philadelphia Eagles. Clearly, Greg Ward was miles ahead of Matt Collins.
Clearly.
Boston Scott, he literally looked like Sproles.
Uh-huh.
He literally looks extremely useful and a player in this league. Where are these guys at? Where are they?
They were here. They just weren't playing with the big guys on Sunday. They were playing during the week, practice squad.
Why not? That's what I'm saying. Like, how could they not see the field? And apparently they have decent players, better than what we had.
Yeah, well, that's why we've been questioning Howie all season long after things really started to come in the focus of how good or bad this team talent-wise looked. So that's on Howie, and he has to correct this, or Jeffrey Lurie's going to have to figure something out, because not a good track record for Howie Roseman right now.
Absolutely not.
No, and I'll give you this too with the receivers, right, Ben? As of right now, with Jeffrey out, you heard the news that it looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the season with the foot injury. So, Ramid hit me up on Twitter @SuaveCapo and says, how about bringing in Mike Wallace or J.J. Nelson for a workout because you're so depleted at wide receiver? Bring in a veteran receiver to try out.
I will absolutely bring in J.J. I don't really care that much about Mike Wallace. But if you really just go get A.B. And if he can't play this year, sign him for next year.
Oh.
You really got the shot to have the number one receiver, the best receiver in the league.
I think I still stay away.
Outside of that, I think we did a little bit of addition by subtraction. I think Alshon is more of a cancer in that locker room than we know and that they letting on. And I think him leaving gave Carson a freer, it made him feel free, not like he was locked in and having to target Alshon. Now he kind of spread the ball around, and he looked like he was going through reads and progressions perfectly. It looked like 2017 all over again.
Well, he definitely looked in control late in the game, certainly in the fourth when they scored, tied the game up at 17, and the game winner both to Ertz. Ben, thanks so much, man. Good seeing you again, as always. And he definitely did look in control. I don't know if it's because of subtraction, but I bet you, I'm not even going to bet you because I don't know. We don't know the dynamics of everything when you say cancer in a locker room. Your words, not mine. I don't know that. But if he had to choose, I would think he would choose to have that talent of Alshon Jeffrey out there because he's going to have that respect from the secondary where you may not have that same type of respect from these other guys, where you can look at some different defenses where it's going to be harder for Carson Wentz to complete passes because of how they're going to defend. Seth in Philly is next on the Fanatic. Seth, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. What's going on?
I'm just commenting on the Eagles, man. I think we're starting to realize this is a defensive problem first. All right? This is a defensive problem first. Miami game, we scored points.
Yeah, 31 of them.
We just allowed a big play. The Minnesota game, big play, kill you. They're not dinking and dacking you. They're not marching up the field on you. They're throwing big plays at crucial times, namely third downs when you want to get them off the field. That puts your offense in a position where they're either in a tough field position or they're playing a game that they don't want to necessarily have to play. They have to get away from their run game because now other teams are throwing down bombs down the field on them. You can't run in a game like that. I mean, the Giants game, it should have been 10-3 at the half. It should have been 10-3 at the half. And they come out second half with a whole different game plan. Although they won that game, they shouldn't have had to make that adjustment. Knowing that, you know, Jim, you got to know that the receivers on the other end aren't doing good. You guys got to step up. You guys are veterans. You guys, there's no injuries on your end, like offense is having. So you guys got to step up.
Yeah.
You kill two birds with one stone that way.
Yeah, and part of the thing, too, and I know Jason will probably talk about this when we speak to him at 7, and we always talk about how the corners play off so much instead of pressing up and not allowing that free release off the line of scrimmage. And they continue to do it. And Booger McFarland, who the broadcast last night was terrible, but he kept bringing that up. And we're like, yeah, dude, they've been doing this all year. So, you know, thanks for checking in because this is what they do. This is where they get eaten up. And we saw that a lot again last night.
Absolutely. Just to change gears real quick, the Phillies, man. DD is a great signing, but do you think we still be able to get Ryan from Cubs?
Get Bryant and via trade? I don't know. I mean, they keep talking about it, Seth. Thanks for the call, man. They keep talking about how their name is still mentioned in that conversation. Don't know. You know the Cubs are going to want a lot, so what are you willing to give up? If they were to go and get Chris Bryant, man, offseason will be looking pretty, pretty good. 610-632-0975. John, Oz, hang on, guys. We'll get to you in just a little bit. Jason Avant coming up on the other side, 7 o'clock, to give us his take on what happened last night. A big win for the Birds. Took a lot out of them. They had to forge that comeback. 23-17 victory over the Giants, tied at the top of the division with the Dallas Cowboys currently at 6-7. Travel to Washington next, while the Rams will be in Dallas on Sunday. So we'll be keeping an eye on that game as well. 610-632-0975. Jason Devine on the other side here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.